Prince USA fans. Welcome back to another episode of CUSA Insider, the official podcast of Conference USA. I'm your host, Sarah Rudolph, and we have another CUSA football preview episode here for you today, this time talking about one of Conference USA's newcomers, the Delaware Blue Hens. We are super excited to chat with you about one of the newest programs here in CUSA, and I have a very special co-host today, someone that is usually behind the scenes a lot, doing all of our producing, not to mention he's also doing all of our creative video that you see on social media, our Associate Director of Digital Content, Dane Lewis. Thank you so much for being on the show today, Dane.
Yeah, happy to be here, Sarah. It's nice to be on the other side of the camera. Hopefully I can fill in properly for Josh, and excited to talk about, you know, one of the most intriguing teams in the league this year, to say the least.
Yes, I think we're going to learn a lot about the Blue Hen program today, and to talk all about it, joining us from Newark, Delaware, is Kevin Tressolini, sports writer at Delaware Online. Thank you so much, Kevin, for joining CUSA Insider.
Sarah and Dane, it's wonderful to be with y'all. And, you know, Dane, you got a little Blue Hen football helmet right over your head there, so I feel like I'm at home talking to you guys.
Yeah, we got a 302 hat up here somewhere, too, that Ed LaFrischer is there. Yes, that Delaware sent us. Love it, playing for the 302. Well, Kevin, my first question for you is just, how have things been going since camp got underway? You mentioned before we got started, you've been able to see a little bit of practice and been in some press conferences and things like that with some players and assistant coaches. Just give us a little high-level overview of how things have been going so far as the Blue Hens get prepared to play their first season of FBS football.
Yeah, thanks, Sarah. It looks like things are going well. I mean, I don't get to see a whole lot. I kind of get to see a lot of the preliminary stuff and some fundamental work and some jumping jacks and things like that before they kind of start getting into the more nitty gritty stuff where maybe the ones are going against the ones and things like that. I don't get to see any of that, but I still get to learn a little bit from watching what I do get to see. And I don't think they're ready to play a game today, but it's still just the second week, but I'm sure they're making progress and they look like they're making progress. They seem to have some nice depth at some positions, which is obviously going to come in handy, you know, now that they're a member of the Football Bowl subdivision and they're playing with 85 scholarship players instead of 63. They do have that many. So their numbers look good. They've had like 18 wide receivers out there catching passes in preseason drill. So I think that's a good sign. You know, they're going to need their depth now, you know, with the competition they're going to face on a regular basis. They're really going to have to probably dip into the depth a little bit more. But we're also seeing some of the things that you see early in preseason camp. About three of those wide receivers were not practicing today. One had a boot. One was on crutches. One looked like he had some other kind of brace on his leg. I know there's a D-back who hurt his knee. So, you know, some of those things are starting to pop up too.
Yeah, you touched on it a little bit, this being a transition year for the Blue Hens. Obviously, Conference USA, we've had our fair share of teams transitioning from FCS to FBS. What has Coach Ryan Carty or the coaching staff in general been saying, leading up to this season, with it being the first year in Conference USA, the first year as an FBS team? What's the messaging from Coach Carty and the coaching staff regarding the transition this upcoming season?
Yeah, I think they feel good about what they have. You know, they certainly have a very experienced team, which helps at a time like this when you're moving up and you're going to be taking on some much greater challenges than you've had before. I think they like that aspect of it. One thing they've often said, you know, when we've kind of asked them as reporters, what do you need to do to better handle, the move up and things like that? And some of those are obvious. You got to be deeper. You got to be bigger. You got to be faster. You got to be stronger. You got to be more physical. But one thing Coach Carty and his assistant coaches have frequently said is they're going to have a much better idea of where they need to kind of adjust and improve and get better when they start playing FIU and Jacksonville State and Liberty and everybody. You know, when they really kind of get down there on the field with them, they'll have a much better idea at the end of the season than they do now, exactly where they need to get better and what they need to do to really kind of improve. But this is, as you guys know, this is a program with a strong tradition of football, a very winning program back at the college division level, then at Division II, then at 1AA, then at the FCS level. So there's a strong winning tradition, a strong foundation, and the athletic department has always supported the program very well. They probably have one of the better budgets in the league, and they've always had a strong, passionate following as well, which doesn't hurt.
I mean, Coach Ryan Carty himself is a 2003 national champion Blue Hen. So I know that that means a lot to him just to be able to be coaching at his alma mater. We actually have several coaches that are coaching at their alma mater in the league. Coach Tony Sanchez comes to mind at New Mexico State, also played football there. But I think when we talk about players at camp right now, people, I mention this to you when we first got on, I think that a lot of people will watch this episode that are even not Blue Hen fans, because you guys are so new to the league. There's going to be some Hilltopper fans. There's going to be some Aggie fans, some Flames fans that are going to be watching this and saying, okay, who are we up against this year? But I think that a big question mark for the Blue Hens this year has been at the quarterback position. You guys had Zach Marker and Nick Minicucci also both starting in different ways in last year. And then you look at transfer in Riley Trujillo from UCF. Where does he fit into this situation? Have things kind of leveled out to you so far throughout what you've been able to see at camp? Do we know a starter today on August, whatever today is, before the season starts, or are we still figuring things out?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they're still figuring things out, and it's going to be an ongoing process throughout the year. But Zach Marker, who as you mentioned has started games the last couple of years, you know, seems to be running the first team offense. Nick Minicucci, who has also started games each of the last 2 years, has been running, has also been jumping in and running the first offense. So they're lucky to have two guys who have started, who have played. So you would think that that's where it starts, that those are the guys, those are the two guys we're most likely to see when they open on August 28th against Delaware State. You know, after that, they have six quarterbacks and they all look pretty good. The transfer from Central Florida, Riley Trujillo, he's probably the last guy in the pecking order right now, because he hasn't been here like all the other guys have. Even the true freshman they have was here in the spring. So I'm sure he's going to start climbing the depth chart a little bit when they start getting a little bit more time in and he gets a little bit more knowledge of the offense. But, you know, the guy who's kind of, you would think the third guy now, Braden Streeter, is a redshirt freshman who stepped in last year and only threw a touchdown pass on his first college throw.
Big deal at all.
Yeah, right. So they feel really good about what they got. But, you know, obviously the quarterback has to play great. The quarterback is going to have to play great for Delaware to be a good football team. And we will see who that will be. But I would certainly think Zach Marker's very good. He's a very good quarterback, very mobile. He was coming off an ACL injury last year. So he's a lot healthier now than he was a year ago. But also Nick Minicucci, who started a playoff game for Delaware as a true freshman 2 years ago, also another kid with versatile skills, can throw it, can run it. They got some good players, but yeah, there's a lot of competition there.
Yeah, you touch on the quarterbacks, but let's take a minute to dive a little bit deeper into this roster as a whole, because modern era of college football, you always have a handful of players going into programs, out of programs. We know that there are some big names returning for the Blue Hens this year. We got the opportunity at Media Day to meet running back Joe Silver and linebacker Dylan Traynor. Mm-hmm. But from what you've been able to see, who are some of the big names on this roster for the Blue Hens going into 2025, whether those be returning players or players that the Blue Hens got in the portal?
Yeah, Dane, certainly the people you just mentioned, they lost a really good running back in Marcus Fjorns, who's now in the New Orleans Saints camp. But he got banged up once in a while, missed some games, and Joe Silver stepped in and did a really nice job, as did Saeed St. Fleur, who is kind of the next guy after Joe. But there's some other guys there, some depth, some transfers, some younger guys at the running back spot who look pretty good. I mean, if you're going to talk about who were Delaware, some of Delaware's premier players, they got three guys on their offensive line. Their best offensive lineman is a redshirt sophomore, Anwar O'Neal, who you know, was recruited by some ACC schools, things like that. But they have two other offensive linemen who are in their sixth year of college football and have started and played a lot of games. That's Fenton Bros and Patrick Shupp, who've been playing the two guard positions. You know, at the wide receiver spot, they got great depth. Jake Thaw, you know, is a guy who really stepped in last year, did a great job after coming from Michigan. Max Patterson, a transfer from Rutgers. But, you know, they've kind of been sidelined some during practice. But there's a lot of other guys, both guys who came to Delaware as freshmen, a couple other transfers. Thomas Amankwa is another Rutgers transfer who is come in. It looks like a guy who can help them, and they got some others too. Defensively, you mentioned Dylan Traynor, fantastic linebacker for the Delaware Blue Hens defense, as is Gavin Moole, who plays next to him. Delaware typically plays a three-man line, five safeties. They call one of their outside linebackers a bandit. So he's kind of got to be a run stopper, a pass stopper, a guy who can get after the quarterback. And the young man they have playing there this year, Blake Griffith, looks like a guy who can looks like a guy who can do the job well. And the safety position is really strong, in particular with some of the guys they have there. KT Say is a third year guy who really stepped in right away as a true freshman and played a lot. Transfer from last year, Jason Scott from Boston College, who's done a great job. Good strong position there at safety, and it needs to be in Delaware's defense because they typically play with five safeties. They typically play kind of a 3-3-5, but they're also very flexible. And then up front, I would say their nose guard, Keyshawn Hunter in particular, is a player. He's had some injuries here and there, but Keyshawn Hunter, an Old Dominion transfer, so familiar with this level, kind of is the centerpiece of that unit with lots of other guys with some experience. Ethan Saunders has played a lot. Jack Hall has played a lot. We got some potential up front too.
That is one thing when looking at the roster for Delaware this year. You guys did have a ton of guys coming back from last year's team who they went 9-2 and a tough FCS football schedule. Great to come off of a winning season coming into their first year of FBS play. But that was one thing that I really noticed when I was doing my research is, yeah, it's a new level this year, but a lot of the same pieces that you guys have had last year are coming back. So I know that that's great for head coach Ryan Carty. And I do want to plug, if you're sticking around, which you should, for after this interview, my interview with head coach Ryan Carty, Joe Silver, and Dylan Traynor that I did at Media Day will be right after this. So stick around. I do want to take a second, Kevin, to look at Delaware's 2025 schedule for a second, opening with a rivalry game at home. I am not familiar with Delaware State. I tried to do a little bit of research here before we started, but kind of what's the history of that game to you? And is it kind of exciting for the Blue Hen fans to be opening with that at home?
Well, Delaware State has always been a hot topic here in the first state because Delaware State is an HBCU and, you know, doesn't have a glorious football history. Delaware does have a glorious football history, six national championships at lower levels. Delaware would never play Delaware State. They just didn't think that they should play Delaware State. They didn't see the benefit in playing Delaware State. This was something that we used to write lots of stories about, why they won't play, when are they going to play, things like that. Finally, in 1997, they met for the first time because the NCAA made them. In a first round playoff game, which drew 19,000 fans to Delaware Stadium, was on national TV, was big news. The school, Delaware, who had a new president, who kind of realized it was ridiculous that they didn't play each other. Then they started playing each other on a regular basis. I guess they've played about 10 or 11 times now. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but it's never been close. It's never been close. Delaware has won all those games by double figures. I think Delaware State has led once, maybe like in the first quarter of a game, 6-3 or something like that. So Delaware's dominated the series. Delaware State's an FCS program, has really struggled since that playoff season that I mentioned when they played for the first time, which was 2007. They haven't done very well since then. They have a new coach who's made a lot of headlines. His name is DeSean Jackson, and he was a great wide receiver for the nearby Philadelphia Eagles here and some other NFL teams. So there is a lot of renewed excitement at Delaware State with DeSean coming in. I think they're going to be better. They've won two games the last 2 years. I think they're going to be better, but they're going to have a hard time against the Bluehens.
Well, I know I'm excited to see just obviously, like you said, regardless of the score on the scoreboard, it draws a lot of fans into the stadium just because there's a it's a Delaware fan base. And one of the things that I'm most excited for is to see what Newark is like for a game day atmosphere. I'll go back to the schedule here in a second, but just because you mentioned it, you know, 19,000 fans back in 97. What is it like in the stadium there for the Blue Hens at a home game? What can fans across the country expect from you guys?
Yeah, it's quite a scene. It's all, you know, Delaware's always had among the higher attendance figures at the 1AA than FCS level, you know, typically always top 10, you know, 20 years ago, frequently, you know, top two or three. It's a very passionate following, no doubt about it. The stadium once held 22 or 23,000 and it would fill for some games back, you know, when Joe Flacco was playing here and some other really good players. You know, nowadays it seats a little over 18,000 and they'll fill it up a couple times, you know, and certainly some of these games that they're playing at home this year. I think in particular, the conference home opener against Western Kentucky is going to be on a Friday night. And it's parents and family weekend. So that, you know, that's going to sell out a week before the game. I know people are really excited about that one, especially because Western Kentucky is going to be a good team. That's going to be a really tough game for Delaware. But we got a great college town here. Remember, it's pronounced Newark, N-E-W-A-R-K, Newark. But we got a great college town and a beautiful campus. And I think people from other conference USA schools will enjoy making the visit.
Well, yeah. Going back into the schedule, I feel like we would be remiss to not mention the week two matchup. Delaware gets to take their team to Boulder to face off against one of the, you know, most polarizing teams in college football in Colorado. Love him or hate him. I mean, Coach Prime is, you know, one of the most talked about figures in the sport, and college football fans from last year probably remember week one, an FCS team in North Dakota State goes into Boulder and really held their own really well against Coach Prime and Travis Hunter, Shadur Sanders. And I mean, it was a really entertaining game. Is there any discussion about that amongst the fan base, amongst anyone that you've talked to in the Delaware football community about having that same opportunity this year?
Oh, the fans are thrilled. Oh my God. The fans are thrilled about that one. I mean, going to Colorado, obviously Dion has made a lot of headlines the last couple of years. I've been to Boulder, one of the great college towns in America, just a beautiful spot. But it's going to be a really tough football game. You know, that's what they all have to keep in mind. That's going to be a really, really tough football game for the Hens. But, you know, but they're glad to get the opportunity. You know, the last time they played an FBS level school, it didn't go very well. They went to Penn State 2 years ago. And I think I don't have the score in front of me. I think it was 63-7. I don't think that's going to happen. You know, Delaware is an FBS team now. And you know, they still have some building to do, but, you know, but they have laid the foundation to be an FBS team, and they want to be a really good FBS team. Colorado will be a challenge for them, however.
Yeah, just looking at your schedule again, I think that, you know, Delaware being in their first year in Conference USA does have a pretty tough out on the Conference USA schedule. You guys play Western Kentucky, as you mentioned, at home. That's your Conference USA home opener. Also, you've got away at Liberty on the schedule, away at Sam Houston, who has a new head coach this year, but had a great season last year coming off of a really good season. So people that aren't on the schedule, you don't have Missouri State, who is the other newcomer that I think a lot of people don't know anything about. No New Mexico State, who had a losing record last year. So you definitely have a tougher Conference USA schedule than some this year. But curious to hear just from your perspective, or maybe what you've heard coaches talking about, what this CUSA slate is going to be like for these guys this year. What's the expectation coming out of that?
It's going to be tough. As you said, Sarah, they may have the toughest schedule in the league. They're the only team that's playing every Conference USA team that went to a bowl last year. They're the only team that's doing that. You know, that kind of says right there how difficult it could potentially be. Obviously, it's this year, not last year, so everybody's different. but it's going to be really, really challenging. Going to Liberty, who I think on paper is probably the best team in the league as of now. It's going to be a real, real tough challenge for them. They kind of know Jacksonville State a little bit because they played a few years ago in the playoffs. Coach Cardi knows Sam Houston because he was the coach. He was the offensive coordinator there when they won the national championship in that 2021 spring season. So I think Delaware does find comfort in the fact that some of the other schools in the league have moved up from FCS and done pretty well. They feel like they have kind of laid the foundation to play pretty well also, and to do okay in their first year in the league. But the challenge is the schedule. There's no breaks there, and it's going to be a difficult slate for them.
Yeah. And my last question that I know I have as our interview starts to wind down here, something that I feel like I've been thinking of throughout this interview, we talk about a lot of players returning on the roster. There seems to be really fantastic fan support up there in Newark. What makes that place, Newark, Delaware, so special that makes these players want to stay when the school is in a transition period? And even, I mean, the three, Ryan Cardi, Joe Silver, Dylan Trainer, all just had so much joy and passion at Media Day when talking about football, when talking about their teammates or the other coaches on the coaching staff. It just seems like a very special place. And I'm excited to get to go visit. I know I'll get to be there for the softball championship that Delaware hosts later in the spring in this sports season. But just from your perspective, what makes Newark, Delaware so unique and so special, especially in the landscape of college athletics?
Yeah, you're right, Dana. And that's a good question. So I grew up in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, and I was a fan of Lehigh University. And every year, when I was a kid or every other year, I would walk into the stadium and look down on the field and go, "Oh my God, Delaware's here. Lehigh's in big trouble. This is gonna be awful." That's Delaware, and that was a long time ago. I was a little kid a long time ago. And Delaware has long had that reputation of just being a really tough team to play. As a result of the success they've had, they've got a very passionate fan base and a very proud tradition. And players know that, and they come here and they know that, and they feel that. And guys like Coach Cardi, who as you guys said, have been part of that as players, talk about that all the time. And the pride that comes with being a Delaware player, the pride that comes with being part of the program. They'll bring back some of the, some of the former players, Joe Flacco, Pat Devlin, some of the great quarterbacks who've played here, Rich Gannon. And those guys will talk to them about it too. And the players pick up on that, and the players sense that, and they know there's a high expectation here. There's a high expectation, and that doesn't go away when the challenge is getting significantly greater as it is this year as they enter Conference USA.
All right, Kevin, I know you have a hard stop here in a second, so I'm going to ask you one more question. And then if we have time, one more little question. So I always ask this to our beat writers who are on the show. Tell us a little bit about how you got your start, why you cover the Blue Hens, just to give the listeners a little excitement. Kevin's been in the business longer than anyone I've ever asked this question to. So tell us about it, Kevin.
Oh, no, I'm a lucky man. I've gotten to do something I love for a long, long time. I just started my 45th year at the News Journal and DelawareLine.com. I'm a very lucky guy. But no, I'm fortunate in what I do that I get to cover a program like this that has such a great tradition that I've been familiar with, as I said, as a kid and then as a student at the University of Delaware. I actually covered their 1979 Division II national championship as a senior. You spend a lot of time around some people, and you get to know them, and you get to like them, and you really appreciate the opportunity to cover this team. And this is such a historic, it's a historic season for Delaware to be moving up and to playing at the FBS level as a member of Conference USA. And it's going to be a real challenge and an honor and a joy to chronicle how it goes for the Blue Hens.
A true Delaware football historian there, Kevin. Tell people where they can follow you to get news about the season. And then I have one more question for you about Newark, Delaware, before we let you go.
DelawareOnline.com is where you can find a lot of stories.
All right, perfect. My final question for you, only because you've been around Newark for so long, I like to ask my guests this. We call this segment CUSA Eats. So if I'm coming up to Newark, maybe Dane in May when he's up there for the softball championship, and I have one night to go eat dinner, where do I need to go?
My favorite place is Klondike Kate's on West Main Street. On East Main Street in Newark. We have a great Main Street. Tons of great eating establishments. Klondike Kate's is my favorite. There's another one right across the street. They're up and down the block. The Deer Park at the other end is a really good one too. I would go Klondike Kate's or the Deer Park, but there's lots you could pick there that you'll love.
All right, perfect. I mean, I'm just gonna take your word for it. You seem like a real expert, so
I'm excited to check out the city itself and the food scene, especially when I get a chance to visit.
It's a great college town. It really is one of the great college towns around, one of the most beautiful campuses around too. You guys will like it.
Well, we can't wait to see how the Blue Hens do in their inaugural season in Conference USA. We are ready for 2025 to get underway. August 28th at home against Delaware State. We will be watching. And Kevin, I know you'll be covering it. So thank you so much for joining us and good luck the rest of the season.
Thanks, Sarah and Dana. It's been really nice talking with you guys and really looking forward to Delaware taking part in this conference.
All right, fans, stick around for my interview with head coach Ryan Carty, running back Joe Silver, and linebacker Dylan Traynor from CUSA Kickoff. All right, Conference USA fans, welcome into a very special episode of CUSA Insider, the official podcast of Conference USA. We are here at the 2025 CUSA football kickoff here at the PGA of America headquarters, and we have some very, very special guests joining us for our first interview of the day. The Delaware Blue Hens are in the house, their first year in CUSA. We are so excited to have head coach Ryan Carty joining us today, Dylan Traynor, and Joe Silver. Guys, thank you guys so much for joining us this morning. We're starting you off really early. I hope you're ready to call.
Appreciate you having us. We're a morning operation at the University of Delaware, so we're used to it.
Yeah, and you guys are Eastern time and it's Central time right now, so this early wake up. Yeah, it's late. It's late right now. It's 10 o'clock. So I just want to start off with a really simple, easy question. What are you guys looking forward to this season, your first season in CUSA? What have you guys been prepping for just to get ready for this season?
Yeah, well, I think really the competitiveness and the week-to-week challenges that we're about to face is really exciting. And so, we've been focusing on our normal, process-driven operation and making sure that, each day we try our best to get a little bit better and improve. And I think that's going to be the course of the season as well. How can we improve once we feel what it's like to play in this conference?
Absolutely. And can y'all tell me from the player side, what's the locker room been like? What's the vibe been like in the locker room as you guys prepare and get ready for this season? You haven't started practice yet, I'm pretty sure. Okay, that's good to know. But tell me about what are you guys ramping up to? What have you guys been talking about with this new league?
I'll say mostly all the guys understand the stakes. I always see a lot of guys getting extra work together after workouts because we all understand what we're getting into. And we want to win for sure.
Yeah, I think to kind of go off that, I think the guys in our locker room just love football. And I think that's kind of been the theme that's kind of remained, throughout the past couple months. And really ever since this announcement, I think, we have a bunch of guys that don't care who, when, where, what's going on. I think we just have guys in that locker room that love ball and are just ready to get after it no matter who we play.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm curious if you guys could share with me maybe if we have some Conference USA fans traveling up to Delaware for a game, what can they look forward to seeing that might be unique to UD and the Blue Hens?
Well, I think there's a bunch of things that, around campus that are pretty special. I mean, it's one of the prettiest campuses in the country. It's very idyllic. It's if you typed in what does a college look like, it's where you probably film a movie of what a university would look like. But I think also just kind of the area that we're in, we're so lucky and fortunate to be around so many great cities. And, you're 35 minutes from Philadelphia, 50 minutes from Baltimore, we have a train on campus that's in an hour, 45 minutes. You're in New York City, you're in Manhattan. And so we have that ability to kind of be close to a lot of things. So when you're up there, you got a chance to you know, go see the White House if you want, you know, in a couple hour drive and kind of venture out and get a cheesesteak in Philly and, you know, go see the Rocky Steps and all that stuff.
So, nice.
I think, you know, the what we have as a community in Newark, Delaware, it's very, very special. And then you have that ability to kind of, you know, venture out into the Northeast.
Awesome. Guys, anything from a student perspective?
Yeah, I think just as a player, really seeing the tradition and the fan base is awesome. That's something that I know when we've traveled in the past, there's not many people that we've played that have kind of been able to say they have that culture that we have from a community standpoint, like Coach was saying. So I think just seeing the rich tradition live in the stands every game day has been just incredible as a student athlete. And I'm sure everybody that kind of makes their way to Newark will kind of see that as they go.
Yeah, our fans go way back and they love us. And it's really nice to be able to play for them.
Yeah, I've heard a lot about the ULD fan base. Like, I cannot wait to get up there and go to a game. I mean, you guys make it sound incredible. So I'm excited for some of our fan bases, some of our other student athletes from other schools to get to experience that this year. Coach Carty, correct me if I'm wrong, but you were an alum of the University of Delaware, correct?
Proud alum.
And you were part of the 2003 national champion team?
Yes, we had an unbelievable football team. We really did. I was a redshirt freshman, backup quarterback, and had a chance to be around some unbelievable coaches and players, and just an unreal experience, really. It's something that you kind of remember, and the thing that you take away from it is, you know, it's about the people in the locker room. You know, I've been around talented teams. I've been around teams that fought really hard. It takes something special to kind of have that team that gels together well enough to be the team that can do something that special.
We actually have two coaches in Conference USA who are now coaching at the place where they play ball. So Coach Tony Sanchez for New Mexico State also played for New Mexico State. But what kind of like extra pride maybe does that bring? You mentioned to me before we started that you actually come from a long line of coaching family. Yeah. So what is that? Is there like a little extra pride there because you're coaching at your alma mater?
Absolutely. There's no doubt. I think it's something that, you know, when I was playing there, would never have thought, you know, could be possible. And to be able to have the opportunity to, in particular, in this time of transition and in this time that we get a chance to kind of pick the national brand a little bit further in the University of Delaware perspective, to be the person who gets a chance to represent the 302 as a leader of one of our teams is just, I mean, it's almost a simulation moment, right? It's so special. So we're really excited.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, guys, I have a question. So I asked this to a bunch of people last year and I got really great answers and the fan bases loved it. So I'm going to ask you guys again, because I have a feeling that some Blue Hen faithful out there are going to like this question. So I need you to tell me, in your locker room, who is the guy that is the absolute funniest? Who is Chrissy Lack on a daily basis?
I think Jay Fella is one of the funniest guys in our locker room. We have this show we like to watch, I Think You Should Leave, and we kind of go back and forth play. Kind of creating our own scenes and things like that. He's a funny guy.
Nice. Do you have a different answer?
Honestly, this might come as a surprise, and it might just be I live with him, but I think Pat Shupp is hilarious. He's just somebody that's like always just in a goofy mood, and he never takes himself too serious, which I think is hilarious. And so if you catch him at the right time and he's not kind of grumpy, he's definitely a funny guy, for sure.
Okay. On the flip side,
okay,
who's the guy who could use a little more laughter in his life in the locker room? Who's too serious all the time?
I'm probably in that conversation.
I might be sitting next to
you. Yeah.
Who's saying intense would be the word?
Okay, yeah, intense.
It's a good way to put it.
Well, we're laughing out. You guys can have it.
Yeah.
It's great. Okay, another football question for you guys. So if you were to try and describe in a couple of sentences or a couple of words what Delaware's brand of football is, what would you guys say?
Committed, relentless finish. That's our core values year in and year out. And I think that's something that we pride ourselves on. I think we're a gritty team and everything we do, we're going to do it as hard as we possibly can. And we're going to finish everything that we do.
I say we're the classic college football. And how you do anything is how you do everything. We really like to focus on being well-rounded people at the University of Delaware.
Awesome. Man, they're like media trained. They're like, yes, I know the answer to this question right now. So I know that we are always just looking towards week one, the coach speak of the world. Mm-hmm. You're only looking at the next game. But are there any other games maybe on your schedule that you have circled, maybe a weekday game or some conference game that you have your eyes on? You guys have some great home games this year.
Yeah, I think we're really excited about the whole Conference USA schedule, to be honest. And we do take things one year at a time. Yes, there's no doubt. I mean, the schedule's there. It exists, right? And so, yeah, I think, you know, the ability to have some, like you said, some people, some fan bases come and travel to us, maybe on a weekday, a weeknight, I should say, you know, come on a Saturday in October, November, when the leaves are changing. Those kinds of things, I think, are so special. And so to have the ability to have, you know, some of the better, you know, historical successful teams in this conference come up to the place for family weekend and for homecoming and those kinds of things that are just so special for our fan base to be able to have that kind of energy and juice in Newark, Delaware is really exciting for us.
Yeah, I think that's going to be exciting. Do you guys have anything to add to that?
I think the one I have circled in red marker is the Colorado game, definitely. Our first out-of-conference national television game. Yeah. I've been thinking about it for a while.
Yeah, awesome. You guys have some great nationally televised games this year. It's going to be really exciting for your fan base and your players, I'm sure. Call up mom and dad, call up aunt and uncle. Mom, I want to unite. Just watching. Obviously, your mom will be watching, but let's hope your mom will be watching. Well, I'm just so curious to hear a little bit more about you guys, what your majors are. We talked a little bit about this before we got on, but, you know, obviously football is forever until a point. And so what you guys are looking forward to life after football. I love hearing about student athletes' majors and what they're studying. Obviously, you're student first, athlete second. So tell us a little bit about what you're studying and what your career aspirations are.
Yeah, so I finished my undergrad in health behavior science. I'm kind of old as dirt now, going into my sixth year of this. So that was about 2 May's ago that I got that degree. And ever since then, I've been enrolled in the MBA program. So that's been a great experience as I've kind of spent my undergrad years learning, you know, science and statistics and stuff like that. So really kind of flipping over to the business side of things and seeing how, you know, the real world operates, so to speak, on a day-to-day basis has been a great learning experience. And then I think that'll definitely pay off, whether it's the coursework or just, you know, the lessons I learn outside of the classroom while being enrolled in that program. That'll kind of take me through, you know, really the rest of my professional career. And, you know, I'm thinking about getting into coaching or scouting or player development. Really just want to stay in the game as long as I can.
Awesome. Awesome. Joe, what about you?
So I'm a health behavior science major with a strength and conditioning minor, and I'm picking up a psychology minor.
Of course.
I like to think of it as the mind and body. I've always had a passion for the human body. I think it's just the coolest thing ever, how it heals itself, how it gets stronger, things like that. And with me being an athlete, sometimes like I'll sprain an ankle or something and it kind of just feels like a new assignment or something like that. It's time to get to work, you know?
Yeah.
I really have always had a passion for it, and it's honestly never going to die. It's always going to be with me.
Awesome. Okay. Before they start knocking on this door to make sure that you're going to your next station on time, I have one final question for you. I try to ask it to all of the guests that we have here on the show, but I'm excited to ask you guys because you're new to Conference USA. Tell me where, we call the segment CUSA Eats, by the way. So tell me where the best places to eat in Newark, Delaware are. Where are you going to go after practice when you're super hungry and you need a good bite?
I have to say Roots.
You already said
it's not everywhere. I always thought it was kind of a chain across the like the United States, but it's not. It's kind of niche a little bit, and it's right on our campus, and it's a great spot to hit up.
Awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I love Roots. I think that might not excite a lot of people listening, depending on, you know, what their style of food is. That's definitely on, you know, the leaner side of things. But I will say, if, you know, you're looking for a date or something, I think Taverna's a great spot.
Okay.
Really great Italian spot. Got some good, definitely some good chicken parm there. So if you're that's your vibe, definitely go to Taverna.
We're fortunate enough to have quite a few places on campus to eat and stuff.
Okay, good.
A bunch.
Nice. Do you have any additional ones?
I think there's some great ones. There's some classics, you know, Honda Kate's on the corner, Deer Park on the other corner. The boys love El Diablo. And there's a couple, you know, spots like Malin's for sandwiches and Mario's for pizza and Amalfi for pizza. There's some great ones over the course of time.
He's got the spots. He's been around Delaware. Well, guys, thank you both all so much. Coach Cardi, Dylan, Joe, thank you guys for being here on CUSA Insider, your first CUSA Insider podcast episode, hopefully not your last.
good luck this season. Go Blue Hens.
Appreciate it.
This was energy, right?
Exactly. It was awesome to be here.
Thank you.
Huge thanks to everyone at Delaware for joining CUSA Insider and giving us some insight into the Blue Hens program in their inaugural year in Conference USA. Really excited to have some more previews coming up later this week. We've got Delaware starting us off on Monday, but we have Liberty coming up on Wednesday, rounding it out at the end of the week with UTEP on Friday. Also some programs that have some up in the air quarterback battles going on, some question marks going into this season, which is why we kind of saved them for the end, but should be some fun stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Liberty, always fun to talk about them, one of the top contenders in this league since they've joined. And then UTEP, you know, looking to make some progression under year two of Scotty Walden. And of course, I mean, you guys already know, especially UTEP fans, the interview that we got to do with Coach Walden and the student athletes from UTEP. I mean, it's probably one of the best ones we got to
do
all day during media day. Never a dull moment with Coach Walden. So two really great episodes following this one throughout the rest of us.
Yeah. And then I have to plug this because I cannot believe I'm even saying this, but the week following that, we are covering Sam Houston and WKU because they play football that weekend. It is so crazy. Week zero conference matchup. Super excited about that one. So we're saving those for right up until they play week zero. And then following them, Jacksonville State and Kennesaw State, which will be week one, that week leading up to week one of football. Gosh, it's almost here.
Yeah. And I mean, Jack State and Kennesaw, I think, either play on Friday or one of them plays Thursday.
Thursday.
Plays Friday.
Yeah.
But week one's always a little messy with some of those games. But yeah, like you said, I mean, it's right around the corner. Football season's here. And I mean, just getting through these preview episodes has gotten me more and more excited, getting insight on each team and starting to get more news of who's going to be starting or who's going to be making, you know, their debut for a team. It's all exciting. And I can't wait to keep going with all these.
It is very exciting and also scary because football season is so close. Obviously, you know, you're following your favorite team there at home. We're following all 12 teams here at the conference office. So it's a lot of information to retain, but we're super excited to get the season underway, figure out who's going to be the top dog in CUSA for the 2025 season. Now, if you want to see all of these preview episodes that we have been talking about, if you want to look up any of the past ones that we've already taken care of, make sure you're following us on social media at CUSA Insider Pod on X and Instagram. Find us on YouTube. Just search Conference USA. Our entire CUSA Insider podcast is there that you can watch. But if you like to listen to the show still, you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Amazon Music. Also, if you have any questions you'd like us to ask during the show, you can email CUSAinsider@conferenceusa.com. All right, Dane, anything else? Your first time? Is it your first time actually being on this side of the camera?
I think so. I think I've helped host episodes in the past when we were just audio only. But yeah, certainly the longest time on camera I've had since this podcast started. And, you know, hopefully it won't be that long of a stretch before I get to do it again. But
yes,
we'll have some other hosts jumping in the rest of this week. And then once Josh is back from
Canada.
Canada, of all places. I'm sure it's lovely this time of year, especially temperature-wise.
Yes.
Given where we are in Texas in August.
No, we can't knock him for it, considering what we were just talking about. Football season is almost here. Taking a little vacay before it all gets started. But Dane, thanks for joining us. Thank you again to the Delaware Blue Hen faithful for watching this episode. You are listening to CUSA Insider, the official podcast of Conference USA. I'm Sarah Rudolph, and that's Dane Lewis, and we are signing off.